The Catholic Creatives Podcast is brought to you by Sacrilegious, the world's greatest Catholic sock company. Their distinctively Catholic socks begin conversations with curiosity and can lead to great discussions of faith. Order online at sacrilegious.com and be sure to use promo code CCPODCAST for 10% off. That's sacrilegious.com, promo code CCPODCAST. Hey creatives, welcome to the Narthex, where we can be a little louder, a little less reverent, and just as inspired. It's hosted by me, Courtney Kielbasa, and Catholic Creatives Executive Director, Cody Barra. In the Narthex this week is spoken word artist, Claire McCallan. She recently wrapped up her first tour called Leper Lover. Claire has served in Calcutta, performed across the country, and lived in LA, Orlando, Steubenville, Boston, Brooklyn, really all over the place. Claire just moved to Washington, where she is the current artist-in-residence at the Grunewald Guild, and is developing her second tour, titled A Friday Night Alone. We talked to Claire about beauty for beauty's sake, her goal to give the microphone to more female Catholic voices, and that one time she chased down a guy to compliment his graffiti. Enjoy the podcast. Claire McCallan. Welcome to the Narthex. Hey.
Hey, Claire.
Claire, I'm so glad you're here. Claire's a fellow poet, so I'm excited for this.
I know. I'm in a room full of poets. It's fun.
Yeah. By the end, this will all just break down to a slam. So get ready.
Yeah, that's good. I can be ready for that, I think. I can awesome. Be I can vibe. I can vibe. Yeah. I can channel this Narthex, I think.
Yeah.
That's good.
Speaking of this Narthex, Claire, so obviously this podcast is called the Narthex. Courtney and I are sitting here in our Narthex. Our Narthex today it's light blue. It's got a skylight and there's a
stinky light bulb.
And there's a, yeah, no, it's a skylight. And there's a cuckoo clock on the wall, but the bird has been removed.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
that's imaginative.
Yeah.
So you are a poet.
I'm wondering what your Narthex looks like.
Uh-huh. It's like a lot of luggage. A lot of pieces of empty luggage. Take it as you will, but I'm surrounded by them. Wow. Yeah, they're empty though. I don't know.
That was
something to think about, you guys.
Snap? Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
That's going to be the, that's,
that's every transition.
Yeah, that's our transition for this podcast is the snaps.
When I started going to open mics, I was so impressed by the kind of religiousness of vocal responses. There was a lot of, yes, amen.
Preach. Mm-hmm,
preach.
Tell me more.
My favorite was go in, poet. I was like, that's
something. That's a good one. When we were in Detroit for the Detroit Regional, we went to Mass at one of the churches in like downtown Detroit, and the callbacks in the congregation for the homily, you know, what my favorite one was, come on now.
That's such a good one.
And I've adopted that somewhat in my own life. And I was like, you know, somebody will be saying something and you want to hear a little bit more. You're like, come on now. You know,
what else
do you have to give me? Let's follow that thread.
Claire, do you ever have to train audiences when they're at one of your shows because they've never been to a poetry show to vocally respond? Do you have to say something about it?
Every single time. That's how I start my show, with an introduction about who I am. I make a joke about being a spoken word poet from Brooklyn and how like grossly hipster it is. Yeah. And then I teach them and we practice our snapping. And I do this little game with myself because for me, it's the same show every single time. And it's not like acting where you're interacting with someone. So I have to do like little things to keep myself entertained. And I like kind of check out the group before I start and I guess how responsive they're going to be.
Nice.
The responsiveness is directly correlated to the number of white people in the audience.
Yes. There it is. Yeah.
Quiet, stiff. And you know, it's so great when you're one of them, you can say it, but like quiet, stiff, uncomfortable. Why is this girl yelling at me?
Totally.
And also the age is really indicative. So the younger you are, the more insecure you are. So high school audiences are like, they want to die. Because I also make a ton of eye contact. So they just like, and they just won't look at me. They're so upset. They won't make any noise. They're like holding themselves. You know how high schoolers do? They're holding both elbows at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a show at like a nursing home?
No, I don't think I've ever
Like, I wonder if it's totally, like, it's totally an upward trend, or if there's like a, you know, there's like a peak and then a massive drop.
It could depend, though, because if I did a nursing home in Brooklyn, I kind of wonder, like, maybe they were into it in their time.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really try with anyone over like 70. I don't really try to explain what I do.
Sure. Yeah.
It just, a lot of times, yeah, it's just the explanations just get me nowhere. So like, I'm best friends with my landlady. She's 84. She has no idea what I do.
Mm-hmm. Love that. That's the most New York thing you've said so far. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. I was at a like youth conference with Ike Ndolo, and he was playing, and he literally is like, come on, sing along. Like, come on, guys, get involved. He's like, you look like a bunch of stiff white kids, like, and everyone's like so taken aback, but I mean, it was okay for him to say.
You can edit it if what I'm about to say is too inappropriate. I don't really know what your is.
This is the narthex.
I don't know. My landlady has no good reason to think this, but she has thought since like the day I moved in here that I and like an exotic dancer.
Love
fantastic.
It.
She has no reason to believe that. She, every time I leave at night, she's like, please be safe. Like, don't let anyone like touch you in a way you're not comfortable with.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Come home, like at a, and like, I'm going to the grocery store. Yeah. Like,
I'm hitting up Trader Joe's.
And she, so to this day, like, and that's, to me, letting her believe that is so much easier than explaining spoken word poetry to an 84-year-old.
I mean, you're a performer.
I think maybe I said something about performing once.
Yeah.
And so she just like, and I was like shady about it because I didn't want to explain spoken word poetry. And now we have this huge misunderstanding and like just way too late for me to say something.
Yeah, not worth it.
That's fantastic.
Because it's been a year.
And it makes more interesting, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Exotic dancer, spoken word poet. One thing is slightly more interesting.
Maybe it keeps your rent low too. Like, she feels bad.
Yeah, exactly.
She's such a sweetie,
and she's like not oddly, just sweetly very like supportive, and like doesn't shame me for my imaginary career. And like, she's Catholic. She's always offering for me to pray the rosary with her. Like, she's very sweet about the whole thing. If I was a dancer, like, she would be treating me really wonderfully.
But, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really great.
What's her first name?
Kathy.
Shout out to Kathy.
Shout out to Kathy.
Yeah, if Kathy's listening right now, one, way to go, Kathy. And two, we love you, Kathy.
And three,
yeah,
we love Kathy, you, Kathy, sorry for the revolution.
Yeah, my bad, Kathy. Jeez.
Oh, man, poor girl. Claire, we would love to know, as we get started, how you got involved with Catholic Creatives, whether it was through the Facebook group or through an event or through another person. And yeah, what your experience has been being with Catholic Creatives.
Yeah, I got involved through the Facebook group, and I think I was one of those like little creepy crawlers that just kind of watched for maybe like 9 months, know, just totally intimidated because everyone here was just, the level of what they were producing was just so incredible, and people were making money off of their art. They had careers, and all of my work at that time was shot on my iPhone 6. And so I didn't even really feel comfortable sharing it, which now if I was talking to myself or anyone else, I'd be like, absolutely, please still share that. Are you kidding me? Like, people want to see it, and it's important for you, and it's important for other people. So I was just watching in the shadows for like a really long time, you know, like through the bushes, through the window. And then I think I started to meet a couple people. My friend, you guys know in New York, Karina?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I think I met her at a Theology of the Body event, and she mentioned she was involved. And I was like, okay, I guess they're real people. Like, maybe I'll start doing stuff. And then just sharing on the Facebook page, meeting people in real life. And then it was really cool getting to meet you all and perform at the regional conference in New York this year, which kind of like sold me on it. And then I had a show at Tony's house in Philadelphia recently.
Wow.
Yeah, we did a house show. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's so fun. I love that you got to do something like perform at an event. That's kind of how I like deepened my involvement, was I like was asked to perform at the summit, and I was like, oh, this is real. It's not just a Facebook group. Like, these are real cool people. And
I love that. Yeah. And then it turned into a house show with Tony. That's Tony Bazinda, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love like that was, I don't know, a next step. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was good to meet everyone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Claire McCallan, it seems like it's time for the enlightening round. The enlightening round is a round of questions and games where we become enlightened to who you really are in a very short period of time. So basically what we're going to do is we'll play a few games, do some fun little segments, things like that. We'll explain each one to you and play as many as we can.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Claire McCallan.
Yes.
This game is called The Procrastinator.
I will eventually
Did you ever see that Amanda Show sketch called The Procrastinator?
I was not allowed to watch Nickelodeon.
Ooh.
Unfortunately.
It's okay. This essentially, you can play the game without knowing, but the superhero was a superhero who procrastinated everything until it was too late to save the day. So this segment is dedicated to the beautiful ways we find a way to not do the things we're supposed to do. So I would love to know how you procrastinate, what your favorite way to procrastinate is, whether it's, you know, an activity, whether it's a book or a video. There's no judgment here. Just share with us your favorite way to procrastinate.
I go to the thrift store. Absolutely. I live in like the thrifting capital of the country. I can walk to three of them from my apartment and they're amazing. And I just go walk around and I literally basically play dress up because it's not like I'm buying everything. I'm mostly just literally playing dress up. And I can just make a little afternoon of it. I would do anything to have to write, you know.
What is the most ridiculous thing you've purchased from a thrift store?
That's literally like my whole wardrobe. None of it. I had a friend the other day sent me down and she's like, you need staples. I'm looking at it right now. I'm seeing a kimono, like an old violet Victorian nightgown. I have a lot of nightgowns.
Cute.
Which is an interesting thing to buy because, like, again, just me and my cats. Like, I don't live in a mansion. This isn't like a movie. They're all like floor length, like old timey nightgowns in every color.
I bet they're really comfortable.
Jackets.
Though.
They are so comfortable. And I feel, you know, I feel a little bit like a princess when I'm walking around.
Yeah, that's great.
It's good. You know, like, I love them. Yeah, a lot of floor length things. I think more floor length than maybe anyone needs. A lot of fuzzy things, a lot of sparkly things. Yeah. I don't own any black t-shirts.
Wow. Yeah. So really no basics. That's good. That's good. Way to be Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's a good one. Yeah. In college, the that Macklemore song. Oh my god, $20 in my pocket. Yeah. So like that was really popular. So we had this party that was called Thrift Shop. Mm-hmm. And the premise was you and your date had to come to the party in an outfit purely assembled from a thrift store. Mm-hmm. And my then girlfriend, now wife, and I found matching baby blue leisure suits.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are some photos, and it was glorious.
I'm going to find those
and put them in the show notes.
That's great.
You know, I haven't bought anything new in 2 years.
Mm, that's impressive.
That's great. It's like a sustainability thing when I'm trying to sound cool, and a budget thing when I'm trying to sound honest. Yeah.
This has been Claire McCallan Gets Real, a.k.a. The Procrastinator. This segment is called 5 Second Rule. This is a game that both Claire and Courtney, you guys are going to play together. All right. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. This is a game to test your quick wit. You're both poets, so I think we'll be able to do it well. You'll have 5 seconds to answer questions from this following list. So I'm going to give you, for example, name 3 late night talk show hosts, and you'll have to name 3 late night talk show hosts within 5 seconds. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to set a timer. You guys ready?
Yes.
For the listeners at home, her face is very close.
I think I'm thinking it'll help me.
All right. Here we go.
Who goes first?
Claire, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Ready? Name 3 root vegetables.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what a root vegetable is exactly.
That was great. That was a solid start.
Thinking that like our potatoes and beets like root vegetables. Yes, like those carrots, were both
carrots.
Know.
Yes, I would say the goal here.
I was
here,
expecting more root to them.
The goal here is just name 3 things, whether or not they're right or wrong. Okay.
Oh, I'm gonna try my best.
All right.
Incredible.
Name 3 things, whether they're right or wrong is good.
Unbelievably on brand. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you another shot. Okay. We're gonna give you another shot.
Obviously, having the phone close to my face didn't help.
Uh huh. That's funny. I would agree. All right, Claire, you ready for a second go? I think you can do it. We'll do an easier one. All right, ready? Claire, name 3 internet websites.
Facebook, Man Repeller, Google.
Good.
Great.
Nice. All right, Courtney, you ready?
Yes.
Name 3 pizza stores.
Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's.
Nice.
Papa John's is my preferred.
Not a part of the question, but we'll take it. Claire, you ready?
Yeah.
Name 3 Chinese foods.
Kung Pao chicken, General Tso, and
Time.
Oh, the one with the long noodles.
What is that? The one with the noodles. It's like half
lo-mein,
of them.
Lo-mein. Okay. Is that your order? Do you like General Tso's chicken?
No, I have one family that I babysit for, and every time they hand me $50, and they're like, get yourself and the kid Chinese food. And I'm like, okay.
How many eggs?
So we
are
order,
eating?
Like, the kid and I just like have a banquet.
That sounds
you
fun.
I think I know. Yeah. Babysitting for rich people is not bad.
All right, Courtney, are you ready?
Yeah.
Name three characters from the TV show Rugrats.
Oh, Angela. I actually don't know. Is there an Angela?
Ooh, her name is Angelica.
I wasn't allowed to watch that either. I get it.
Yeah, my mom was pretty strict.
So. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, well, they promoted bad attitudes.
No.
That's what she said.
How would you know if you've never seen it?
She also wouldn't let us have Bratz dolls because they were Bratz.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, funny. Totally. Mine too.
I just didn't like Bratz dolls because I always thought it was really creepy that you pull their feet off.
That is weird.
Right?
That's weird. Yeah.
That's weird. Oh, man. All right, Claire, you ready?
Yes.
Name three Old Testament prophets.
Oh, no.
We're doing so bad.
I'm enough for this game, you guys. I don't know my root vegetables or my prophets. What do you want me to say? Maybe don't put that in the podcast.
Oh, like, that's hilarious. Are you kidding? That's totally going in.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
All right. Courtney, you ready? We'll do a couple more. We'll do a couple more.
I don't think I have what it takes for this game.
You're doing great. This is literally.
I would prefer you don't lie to me.
This is great content.
This is what it takes. This is what I want. All right,
I can't hear this.
Courtney, anymore. Name three famous male singers.
Oh, Justin Bieber, Harry Styles, and John Mayer.
Nice.
I'm really in the Taylor Swift vein. I named two of Taylor Swift's BFs.
Could you name a third?
Joe Alwyn is her current. Is he a singer? He's not a singer, but that's her current boyfriend.
Wait, which of those was not a boyfriend?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's
Thank
right.
God. Mm-hmm.
The internet.
Are you Taylor Swift fan?
The internet would
be
able to take that.
I met her when I was like 15, and it was like the biggest day of my life. So
that must have been amazing.
Yeah. So I was like lifelong fan.
All right, Claire, you ready?
I suppose.
Name three types of fish.
Halibut, salmon, and koi.
Nice. Koi.
Koi.
I was looking at the house sitting gigs today, and I was like, someone had a koi pond. They said, don't feed the koi.
Sad.
Do not feed them.
Lame.
That makes me sad for the koi.
All right, guys, this has been 5 Second Rule.
Who won?
Definitely you.
I'm not gonna say the score, but it wasn't pretty.
I think that on our last episode, Nick won the, or no, we had a tie between host and guest.
Yes, that's true.
So, so hosts are up one.
Yeah, I would say that is hosts are up one. Sorry, Claire.
It's okay.
I really feel sad about the Rugrats situation. Oh man, that was fun.
That was fun.
Thank you so much to Erica and Greg at The Little Catholic Box for partnering with the Catholic Creatives podcast. The Little Catholic Box is a quarterly subscription box for Catholic women. Their twofold mission is to be a conduit for Catholic artisans, religious orders, and small businesses to share their creations with the world, and to serve their customers by finding beautiful items that weave our Catholic faith into everyday life through everyday objects. Erica and Greg strongly believe in and support the new Renaissance, and they hope to use their business as a platform to help it spread and grow. And they want to serve you, fellow creatives, as you pursue beauty and bring it into the world. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at The Little Catholic Box and learn about subscription options on their website, thelittlecatholicbox.com.
This segment is called Art Fart. The sound effect, but now just that nastiness. Art Fart is a segment dedicated to our flubs and botches in our creative work. So we'd love to hear a time that you had a big botched moment. Maybe it was bombing a show. Maybe it was a big sad thing that happened when you couldn't get something in. I don't know. But I'd love to hear about your art fart.
Mm-hmm. It was maybe about a year ago, and I was on stage in New Eureka Poets in Manhattan, and I got up and I said the first like three lines of my poem, and that was apparently all that I had brought with me that night. There was nothing, and I paused, and people are so good, like, you know, poetry culture, everybody's like shouting out, they're snapping to like encourage you, but you know, a lot of times you're up there and you lose it, and you just lost it. It's just not in there, and the fear is gripping you. And I've seen so many people forget their words before. I go to these shows all the time. It's very normal. And it would have been totally fine for me to gracefully just be like, you know what? Shoot, it's just not in there. Like, thanks, guys. Have a great night, and get off the stage would have been like a really great way to handle it. But instead, I just like went, okay, I'm the type of person that if I trip and fall and like both of my knees are bleeding and like I have a concussion, the first thing I will do is start like laughing to let you know that I'm okay, even though I'm not. And I'll start telling you like, oh my gosh, this is like so funny. Like, I'm totally fine. Like, this blood doesn't even hurt. Like, I feel really good. Like, I was hoping I would fall, like, positive to a fault, but like also sounding a little bit unhinged in the process. Which is totally what I did on stage. I was like, oh man, you know what? Sometimes you forget that your words, and like, that's okay, because like, that's life. And like, it's so good to be here, like in life together. I love New York City. I love you guys. Poetry's so much fun. And I'm happy I forgot, because my biggest fear was failure. And now I've failed. So like, this is what I wanted. And just like having an absolute Britney Spears meltdown on stage. And they give you 5 minutes. So like, nobody was getting up to stop me. And in retrospect, like, I really do wish someone would have gotten up and been like, come on. Come on, it's get off the stage.
Oh, my
stomach. That was my biggest meltdown. Yeah.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
And a New Yorker, you said.
Huh?
A New Yorker.
Oh, I know. I know. But it is, I know everybody, and everybody was so funny. Like, it is such a tight-knit culture. Like, afterwards, everybody was posting, like, on their, because everybody's really good about, like, supporting each other by, like, sharing each other's work on Instagram. And I was getting all of these, like, messages being like, don't forget who you are. Like, we still stand by you. And sweet. I was like, oh, it's that bad, huh?
That's awesome. That would be a cool poem. Like, acting like you've forgotten a poem. And then, like, launching in, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a part in one of mine where I do that, where that's I, like, cool. Well, I act like I said the wrong word.
No, yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now she's one step ahead. Three steps ahead. That was a good art fart.
Thanks for your art.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow, Claire.
I'm glad it was good for someone.
Courtney does not like my homemade sound effects.
Don't.
All right. This has been Art Fart. All right, Claire McCallan. This next segment is called Screwed Hate Letters. For our listeners at home, we just came up with that.
Right now.
We would love for you to read us a terrible rejection letter. I would say the more dramatic the reading, the better.
So this rejection letter is from when I was getting ready to apply to the OSB grant, and I wanted to do a spoken word adaption of the Screwtape letters. So I emailed the C.S. Lewis company and asked, and this is their response. And the parts where I sound really loud and intense are the parts where she switches to all caps. Okay.
Oh my.
Okay. Yep. Dear Claire, thank you for your email regarding the Screwtape letters. So Screwtape letters is all capitals. And then she goes, the is capitals, rights are not available to write, adapt, or film, or otherwise make a derivative of, and a version of the Screwtape letters. And this is the best part, all caps, you, Claire McCallan, should not commence such a project.
Wow.
It's very specific. It's not like, hey, nobody should do this. It should be like, hey, Claire McCallan, don't you dare. She put you, Claire McCallan, in all caps.
Oh my gosh.
That's fantastic. Like,
super personal.
Wow.
Oh. I looked it up. Fox has the rights to all of his stuff, so I'm not going to get those anytime soon.
Mm.
That's crazy.
You should forward the letter to Fox and be like, they said I couldn't do it. Maybe you
could. I was really, really, like, had my heart sold on the idea. So I did a bunch of research. And the guy, like, it is in super good hands. The guy who produced Chronicles of Narnia and mm-hmm. also X-Men. He is a Christian film producer. And he has had his paws on the Screwtape letters. Can you tell that I'm so a little resentful? His paws. He's had his dirty little paws. No, I can't stress enough. He's a great guy. On the Screwtape letters for a while. But also, he's just sitting on it. He's had them since 2014.
Mm.
Nothing's happened with him.
Nothing's happened. Something would have happened if I was allowed.
We'll know if we get a submission to the OSV challenge for spoken word screw tape letters.
Yeah, that's like, great.
Hey, man, our friend had that idea first.
Yeah.
How much do you think you'd have to change the letters
for it to be okay?
Yeah.
I feel like so much. And I wouldn't, without permission, I wouldn't even go near know, even though I wanted to.
Man. That's okay. That was a good rejection letter. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, me too.
That was fun. This has been, what would we say, screw hate letters. Claire McCallum.
Claire, this segment is called Stranger Than Fiction. We'd love to hear the story of the weirdest thing that's happened to you in the real world, trademarked. TM. Yeah. Maybe it's a public encounter. Maybe it's just a weird thing you witnessed in New York City. We'd love to hear about something that's stranger than fiction.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. I asked my roommate last night because I got your email being like, oh, we're going to ask you about something stranger than fiction happened in New York City. And I was like, Leah, what do you think when I tell you this question? She's like, well, how are you going to choose? Because every day I walk out the door and it is just like weird encounter on weird encounter. It would be weird if I went through just like a normal day and like nothing very strange happened.
Great.
I get approached by more strangers than anyone I know. And there's two reasons why that is. Number one, remember how we talked about my like crazy clothes? I look like someone who wants to be talked to. And I know that. I am wearing like a blue fur jacket at all time and like pink high heels. Like, I get it. I know what I look like. People are just like, well, that's someone who is an open invitation to be chatted with. So constantly people are coming over because they want to talk about my coats. And I get that. And I love that. And the other thing is I can't hide what I'm feeling. So like, I am very expressive to the point of probably looking a little crazy. Like, I will just be sitting there on the train with like a massive toothy grin, just like thinking about something funny, you know? So like everything about me is like, come talk to this crazy lady. So it happens all the time. We were trying to figure out what was like one of the interesting ones. I had one right when I moved here. This guy, Jerome, I didn't know him at the time. I was on the train and he wrote on the notes of his phone and he like just like said something like very sweet and complimentary. And he just like showed it to me on the notes of his phone. So I like read a note back being like, well, thank you. Like on the note of my phone. And I'm like, oh, like good boy on the train, like writing me notes on his phone, like cool, cool, cool. And then we get off at Union Station and he gets off the train and starts running away. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, there's only one thing to do. Follow him. I need to know where he's going. And so I think he turned away with a wink. Like it was literally insane. It's also a super cool looking guy, like awesome, like super artsy outfit. I was like, I need to know. So I like, you know, run after him on the stairs and we get to like the stairs and it's all tiled walls on Union. And he pulls a Sharpie out of his pocket. And he's a graffito. He's doing like graffiti on the wall with his marker.
Wow.
It was really cool. I was like, what? So that's probably why he had to get a running start on everyone, you know, so he went before the crowd comes and pushes him away because he didn't have a lot of time to draw his little doodle. But it was really cool. But then he like runs away because obviously like the police, he runs away. And I was like, not so fast. So I'm continuing to run after
him. Wow, vigilante.
And I catch up with him and I'm like, that was so cool. And he was like, yeah, like, I'm sorry. Like, I want to talk to you on the train, but like graffiti calls. And I was like, uh-huh. And we start chatting. And I had a show at New York in that night and he was like I'm an artist and I was like yeah me too I do spoken word and he's like I'd love to come to your show and I'm like, okay cool and so he's like I'll come to your show tonight perfect I get there and I'm waiting and I didn't feel well that night and I was sitting like somewhere in the back I didn't feel well I left early right and also my phone died you guys are getting like a deep look into who I am I left early because my stomach hurt and my phone died after chasing this man around New York City all day and I go home and I'm like I don't feel well and also Jerome didn't show I come turn on my phone and there's all the texts being like where did you go I'm like were you there oh. And he had written me a poem and brought to the open mic night to like read a poem about like meeting me on the train
whoa
and then just watched me as I left
Jerome
wow
it's like why didn't you say anything Jerome
I'm heartbroken
wow
Jerome
wow
yeah
that's an incredible story
that
yeah
is only so good literally so good
that is only insane in New York.
We're gonna have to retire this segment I don't like
yeah no one can live up no one can live up to it
wow we had a good run three podcasts
thanks for that story
that was so cool fiction. Have you ever seen him again
we went on one date
okay
yeah Yeah, sweet little Jerome.
That I, there was to a be period the
there when I first moved here where I was meeting all the boys I dated like on the L train.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm telling you, that is my dating advice, young ladies. Wear funky coats. Well, maybe I shouldn't be giving dating advice. It's not like it worked out, but like wear funky coats.
First dating advice. First dating advice.
My first date advice. Don't worry about the other stuff. Wear a fun coat. Like, that's awesome.
This segment is called Write for Your Life.
Okay.
We're going to give you 2 minutes to write a story that incorporates three things. And then you're going to have to read us the story when you're done.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Claire, please write us a story that includes a squeegee, the catechism of the Catholic Church, and a character who runs a website that trashes the TV show Full House.
Five, four, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Claire. Read us a story.
Okay, ready?
Nope.
I typed fiercely, smiling at my own wit. Uncle Joey would never be able to come back from this hip. Reaching for my coffee, keeping eyes on the screen before me, I felt my elbow hit something hard and bounce back in pain on my keyboard. The coffee spilled. Oh, no. It had spilled all over my book of love. I looked at my sopping brown catechism and had a moment of realization. My website wasn't building anyone up, not Joey or Michelle or Danny. My website was making my beliefs a mockery. I pressed delete and went to sleep.
Wow.
That was really good.
There you go, beautiful. Guys.
Wow.
I'm impressed that it's so meaningful. Me too. Man. Oh my gosh.
That was so good.
Thanks guys.
Man.
Wow.
I'm touched.
That was moving.
Yeah.
She really wrote for her life.
She did.
I did. The spelling, not great, but you didn't see that part.
I feel like we all learned something about hate and about like coasters.
Yeah, I want to thank you guys because I feel like that had been like sitting in me for a while, like waiting to be written.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Claire McCallum's next publication in Image Journal will be this.
That definitely felt like it was written from experience, though. Like, and I'm trying to figure out if the experience is sticking up for Full House or if the experience was spilling things on her keyboard.
Definitely both. For sure, both.
Well, Claire, this has been a really amazing
enlightening round.
To sort of continue the conversation about who you are, I would love to hear a little bit more about the driving force behind what you do. I'd love to hear how you got started in spoken words specifically. Mm-hmm. What, maybe it's a mission statement, maybe it's a theme of what kind of fuels you to keep doing it. Maybe it's how your faith incorporates into that as well. But yeah, that we always love to hear about the driving force behind why people create what they create.
Yeah, absolutely. So I tell everyone I write about the intersection of virtue and adventure. I think I'm going to speak to Catholic women as a group for a second. I do think we maybe have a little bit of an identity crisis in our subculture. Somewhere along the line, it became something a little hashtagable and something Instagrammable and like with a preset filter, you know, and there's this version of femininity that we've been sold that is totally valid, but it also doesn't fit a good portion of our women. And I think there's something to be said about having women on microphones. I feel really good about that. Young Catholic women up there on microphones, that is my driving force. I want to hear those voices. And I think it's something the church is going to benefit from. These individual women are going to benefit from. And obviously I do what I do with the hope of everyone from all walks of life and genders and racial backgrounds and socioeconomic backgrounds. I want everyone up on the microphone, but like my heart is with the people who don't usually get the microphone. And I want to be hearing real diverse range of female Catholic experiences. And because I think sometimes Catholic femininity and Christian femininity is threatened by a homogenization. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen that much directed towards a single city living Catholic girl in her 20s. Like, where are those resources? And I think resources like reading materials and videos can be really special. But I also think probably the best resource we can offer those women is a turn on the microphone. Yes. And that is kind of my driving force.
Who gave you your first turn on the microphone?
My friend Dwayne at New Eureka. New Eureka was my first place. And I had given myself two
2 months, I think. I was like, you can watch in the back. You know, I love to watch before joining something, as you know. You can have 2 months of just watching in the back. And then after 3 weeks, my friend Wayne came over and he was like, you got to get up next week. Okay. And I got up and my whole body was shaking and it continued to shake for 2 hours after. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm super grateful. He knows that. I saw him the other day. It's just like all love. And he's such a good guy. And he's doing such good things for New York and the culture. And just Dwayne Bishop, shout out. Like, the best guy. Yeah.
Cool. I love that.
That's amazing.
That's a really powerful mission. Claire, as you know, this is a Catholic Creatives podcast. It's the Narthex, but it's a Catholic Creatives podcast. So one thing that we want to ask you is, what is one thing that's inspiring your faith as a Catholic right now? And one thing that's inspiring you as a creative? And those can be the same thing. They can be different things. It can be things you've seen lately, people, experiences, you know, some, a work that someone else is doing, whatever.
Absolutely. You know, something I love is the church that I go to, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, right across the street from me. They have a pianist. I don't know his name. And after we receive communion and everyone sits down, we, you know, they're singing a communion hymn. And then he just always plays a piece of classical music. And the priest will announce what it's called. And it is just gorgeous. And it is literally just beauty for beauty's sake. And it is the perfect thing after receiving the Eucharist. And it just brings me to tears every time, which is totally not usually who I am. I'm not the classical music person, but this man is an incredible gift. And it is just the most incredible juxtaposition. And it's gorgeous. And it is literally just, it moves something deep inside my soul, listening to this man just play so purely after receiving the Eucharist. It's, he's my dude. I should really go introduce myself before I move, you know?
Yeah, you should.
Super fan. I really should.
No, you should, right? Yeah.
Okay, well, this Sunday. He's incredible.
Yeah. Like artists, right? Like we all know, like when someone walks up to you and says, hey, what you have done has moved my soul. Like that's, you know, that's huge. The most validating thing in the world. That's the dream, you know,
like, totally
to connect with somebody that way.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I think the idea of something that's beautiful, that's a little unexpected, just as you were talking about beforehand, like an unexpected voice or an kind of like a voice that to other people might seem ancillary or like, oh, we already have what we need. But the idea that you appreciate something that you're also trying to do of bringing new voices, new unexpected experiences to people.
Totally.
And unexpected for you, because like you said, it's not an experience that you even typically would like fall for that way, but it just touched you. And that's telling too. That's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Claire, thanks a ton for being here with us on the Narthex, or in the Narthex, I guess I'll say. We've loved having you in our Narthex. It's a cozy little Narthex, but it with you, I don't know where that was going.
Well, it was so much fun, guys.
Yeah, Claire, you're really inspiring, and I'm really, really excited to see how you're going to keep impacting Catholic creatives, and just you're doing really cool stuff. I'm pumped for your residency.
Love the residency. Yeah. So post-residency, because obviously you're going to hole up in the woods for the next, what'd you say, 6 weeks? After that, what's a good place for people to follow along on the great Claire McCallan adventure?
Yeah, they can follow mainly on Instagram. Are you guys going to be able to place like a little link in the bio?
Okay, yeah.
So they can follow it on Instagram. And if you don't mind, just a quick plug, like I am currently booking the shows for the next tour.
Cool.
So it is a show on the young person's experience of loneliness in our modern age. And it is 18 plus, because I really want to talk about like what loneliness looks like for young Catholic adults and kind of some of those tougher topics. And I'm open to going anywhere. So if people are interested,
very cool.
Excited to get the word out.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Share that with us and we'll get that out there.
Yeah, this has been really fun. Thanks.
Yeah,
so much.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This has been the Narthex
with Claire McCallan.
If you'd like to bring Claire to your school, church, or home, you can contact her via email at claremmccallan@gmail.com. or on Instagram at claire_McCallan. I'm Courtney Kielbasa, and my co-host is Cody Barra. Thanks, as always, to Catholic Creatives co-founders Anthony and Marcellino D'Ambrosio. You know, the other day we were all in a meeting, and then Marcellino just got up and ran out the door. I was like, Anthony, what's gotten into him? And Anthony just shrugs.
Graffiti calls.
See you next month in the Narthex.